You are listening to the Qalam podcast series on the purification of the heart by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, as explained by myself, Mikhail Ahmed Smith. This short book movingly details the subtleties of inner purification through discussions on the ego, the nature of the body, the degrees of prayer, fasting, and charity, and the inner realities of the self. Islamic thought on purification of the heart is an ocean of knowledge. In our age of hyperconnectivity and information overload, I attempt to show how Islamic spirituality holds a place of primacy for social reform and rectification of our own actions. The goal is to learn how to connect ourselves to our Creator and how to recognize those things in our lives which are taking us off track. For more classes with myself and other instructors, check out Qalam Connect, Qalam Institute's newest program for online Islamic education and dialogue. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wal afafa wal ghina ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we're here in our next class studying this book of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, the book of Wabil al-Sayyib. And in this book he's teaching us the process of purification of the heart and the different stages of spiritual maturity. That is a term that we've coined in order to understand how we as American Muslims and Muslims in general need to grow in our spirituality. So last week, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he spoke about two qualities that every believer needs to have in order to gain closeness to Allah. One of them was recognizing their own weakness. And the second one was recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing on that person. These were the two qualities that he said are needed in every person. If they have those, then they gain closeness to Allah because they realize they need Allah. And secondly, they recognize Allah's constant blessings upon them. So these were the two wings which he spoke about everyone needs. This week, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he speaks about another stage in spiritual maturity, which is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in reality, love is a quality which only those who've been in love can experience and understand what it really is. To try to explain to someone who's never experienced love what it is, it's almost mahal. It's like trying to explain red. How do you explain red to someone? How do you explain blue? How do you explain pain? How do you explain love? And actually, love is something that comes later in the stage of spiritual maturity. But now Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he talks about this concept of love and how it applies to us as believers. So let's listen to what he says. On page 5, he says, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respect for His commandments. All this will be put upright for the servant through the rectitude of his heart, her heart, and his or her limbs. The heart is rectified by two things. He says the heart will be rectified by two things. One of them is that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must take precedence over all other loves in his or her life. So that if this love and the love of something else presented themselves to him or her, the love of God would come first and his actions or her actions would follow this order. I'll repeat that. The heart is rectified by two things. One of them is love of Allah. The love of God must take precedence over all other loves in his or her life, everything. So that if this love and the love of something else presented themselves to him or her, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come first and his or her actions would follow this order. Then he says, how easy is it to speak about all of this, yet how difficult is it to practice? And it is by being tested that one is honored or humbled. And how much more frequently will someone give preference to what he himself loves and desires, or what some important person, ruler, sheikh, family member loves above what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? Here he says, this is easy to talk about. I love you, I love Allah. Love is easy to claim. But it's only in the time of test that the reality of that claim is seen true or seen false. As the saying goes, "Inda al-imtihan yukramu al-rajul aw yuhan." That's what he says here. At the time of test, you're either proven true and honored, or you're proven false and humiliated. So he says, at the time of the test, you'll see people putting before everything else what they desire, what their parents desire, what their sheikh desire, what the country desires, what the ruler, what society, what everything else desires comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, for this person, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way to turn the object of his love and everything that that relates to it as a source of grief and sorrow. I'll come back to this last point. The last point he's saying is that it's the sunnah of Allah that anything you love more than Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that a source of grief and sorrow. Why? To let you know that there's only one love that must take over your heart. So he'll strip you from every other love eventually. Anything else you love in this world, it will either leave you or you will leave it. So in order to make your heart purely for him, he will slowly strip all of those other loves away from you until they become a source of grief for you and you realize, I have no love other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this topic, I want to share a few thoughts about this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلُ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ, that Allah has not put two hearts in any person. Now, clearly here, Allah is not talking about biology. But in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about what? The love of things. That this heart is a vessel. This heart can be filled with things. It's a vessel. But the only love that it should contain, that comes before everything else, is that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, about this, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ, it's once narrated that one of the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he once asked his father that, oh father, you love us, don't you? His father is Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, you love us, right? He goes, of course I love you. He goes, you love our mother, correct? He says, of course I love your mother. And he names all of these other people you love. And then he says, but Allah says, we can't have two loves. So how is it that you love me, you love my brother, you love my mother, how is it? So he goes, you misunderstood, son. I love all of you only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order to love you. That's it. So in reality, I'm only loving you because of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you. That's heavy. That shows he understood that there's one deep love. And it's funny, his father was giving him this lesson at a young age. That don't put any other love in your heart. So we're going to talk about this more. In reality, brothers and sisters, if we study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, his life is a love story with Allah. His life is a love story that he was in love with Allah. And it's an epic love story. It begins with him running away from people, finding solitude in a cave, away from people so he could yatahannaf, the hadith says. And tahannaf just meant spent time, just him and Allah. Then the next stage, he gets this message. And all of his family, all of society, they say, stop it. Don't do this. This is bad for you. This is bad for people. Don't do it. His uncle comes to him, Abu Talib. What does he say? We all know the story. We hear it in Sunday school. He goes, we'll give you everything. What do you want? Just stop. My nephew, just stop, please. And with tears in his eyes, a man in love with Allah, with tears in his eyes, he goes, see, this is the love. He goes, I can't stop. Imagine, try telling someone in love with someone, yo, just cut her off, man. Yo, bro, sister, just cut him off. She goes, mahal, impossible. I can't just cut them off. And the more sense you talk to them, the more nonsensical things they talk back to you as you tell them to cut off this source of love. So he's being asked, and if you go forward, look at his life. At nighttime, he's getting up praying. His wife is sleeping. So she, what are you doing? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ أَبْدًا شَكُورًا? Shouldn't I just show love to my Allah? One beautiful narration, he's laying with Aisha in the bed, radiallahu anha, he's laying with his wife, he's comfortable in his bed, he's laying there with her, the warmth of her body next to him, and he whispers in her ear something. Ya Aisha, da'ni unaji rabbi. You know, some, when you're in love, you just want to converse with that person. Quick text message, quick call. How are you? How's everything? Go in the corner. Everyone's like, yo, what are you doing in the corner, man? All your boys like, yo, man, we lost him. Yo, he's gone now. Forget him now, man. We got to get a new crew. We got to reassemble the troops. He goes, look what he says. He says, da'ni unaji rabbi. He goes, ya Aisha, can I go whisper to my Allah? Like, look at the love there. He's saying to his wife, just let me go off to the side and whisper to my Allah. So, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him the Habibullah. That is the title of our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Allah. That whole life, we see that constant love coming over and over and over again. Now, how should that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be? How is it, how does it materialize? How do we build it? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, inshallah ta'ala. But first, I want to share a hadith with you. This hadith is narrated in many books of ahadith. And the narrator says that kunna ma'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that we were once with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking. And wa huwa akhidhun bi yadi Umar. He's walking and he's holding the hand of Umar bin Khattab. Him and Umar radiallahu an, like I said before, there was one day they're walking, him and Abu Bakr holding hands. And he says, this is the day we'll be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Umar bin Khattab, they had a tight relationship. So they're walking, holding hands. And Umar bin Khattab, out of nowhere, he goes, فَقَالَ عُمَرْ وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبَّ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنْتَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا نَفْسِي. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, Wallah, I swear by God, I swear by Allah, I love you more than everything. And in one narration, he starts naming my mother, my family, my this, that, whatever. But then he goes at the end, he goes, illa nafsi. I love you more than everything except myself. So the Prophet ﷺ stops and he looks at him and he says, la, no, ya Umar, not until you love me more than even yourself. And then the hadith is amazing because Umar stops at that point. And here's the hard part. For many of us, the hardest part of Sharia is this moment in Umar's life. This moment when you have to decide, do you love Allah more in His Messenger or do you love yourself more? Many of us, we spend 20 to 30 years stuck at this one moment. Do I give my, is it more important what I want or more important what the Prophet ﷺ wants? Is it more important what I want or more important what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? And at this moment in Umar's life, he's like, I love you more than everything, but you know what? I don't love you more than myself. And the Prophet's like, no, that's not it yet. You haven't reached the stages that you need to get to where you love Allah and His Rasul more than everything. So he goes, no, not yet. Not until you love me more than everything. So like I said, Umar bin Khattab, he stops. He stops at that moment. And he goes, okay. Okay, what? He goes, okay. Now I love you more than even myself, Ya Rasulullah. Like he just, there was something inside that took place where he realized I have to put myself here and put Allah and the Prophet here. That's it. And he did it in his heart. So the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? Al-an, Ya Umar, you made it. You did it, al-an, you're there now. Al-an means now. Yes, now you're there, you're at that stage. You know who else was heard when in the Quran we hear this al-an? There's one more person in the Quran that we hear this topic where this word al-an. Who else? Yes. Who was it addressed to? Pharaoh. So the story is where Pharaoh was being chasing Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Red Sea started to cave down in on Pharaoh. And now he realized that I'm done now. My power is gone. I'm not a god. I'm nothing. And what does he say? What is Amentu? What is it? What's the verse? No, before that. Amentu? I'm sorry, Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad. He says that I believe Banu Israel. I believe in the God of Banu Israel. Now, what's happening? The Red Sea is caving in on him. Amantu billadhi amanat bihi banu Israel wa ana bihi muslimin. He goes, wa ana min al muslimin. I'm one of the Muslims now. The waves are caving in on him. At this, and you know what Allah says? Al-an? Look when Umar heard al-an. Look where Pharaoh heard al-an. Umar made that choice in his life to say, you're above me, Ya Allah. You're above me, Ya Rasulullah. Pharaoh waited to that last moment when he saw his weakness and the waves were literally crashing down. And what did Allah tell Jibreel to do? Stuff his mouth with sand. So he can't, because now he was trying to say the Shahada. Just because he realized, I'm done now. So Allah sent revelation to Gabriel, fill his mouth with sand so he can't say it now. Because you spend your whole life now at that last moment? No, it's too late now. So the point here is that self-love is the killer of our society right now. The story of Narcissus is an amazing story. Because if we look at the Greek, the figure where the word narcissism comes from, we learn about this beautiful hunter who was oblivious to his own beauty. Narcissus. He was oblivious to his own beauty. He knew nothing about himself. And someone fell in love with him. He did not love her back. So she said, I'm going to get him back. So she trapped him in a way where he saw his what? He saw his own reflection in the water. And when he saw his own reflection, he became so impressed with his self that he stood there and he fell in love with himself. How many of us have fallen in love with our own opinions? Fallen in love with ourselves over the deen. And the story continues that he stayed there staring at himself until he died. He didn't have any will to live anymore because all he did was stare at his own beauty, and he died staring at his own beauty. Self-love. And this is the image that we have of society now, the selfie society, where we're so engaged and so impressed with our own image that we're like that hunter looking at their reflection until they die. That's very interesting. So Allah says, "Qul in kana aba'ukum wa abna'ukum wa azwajukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum." Say, if your parents, if your children, if your wives, if your family, if your house, if your businesses, if all of these things, ahabba ilaykum min Allah, if they're more beloved to you than Allah, fatarabbasu. Just wait then. Wait, watch what happens. Now this goes back to what I was saying before, that it's the sunnah of Allah that whatever you love, He's going to take that love of it out of your heart. Because your heart was meant for Him. Your heart was meant for that love of Allah to fill the heart, not anything else. This is the key point I want us to understand, that what we're learning here is that this heart is a vessel. Empty the heart of everything else and fill it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Now, how do you know what you love? I'll tell you two ways. Let me see your bank statement. Number one, open up your app of your phone. Let me see your bank statement. I'll tell you what you love. And let me see how you spend your time. Whatever you spend your money on and whatever you're spending your time on, this is what you love. You can claim all you want. You can claim to your wife or whoever, I love you, I love you. She'll look at how much time you're spending with her or how much money you spend on her. Depends. Money doesn't work for me. It's just time. Maybe for some of y'all, money works. So you can claim love all you want, but tell me two things. Let me see your bank account, your bank statement. I'll tell you what you love just from that. So he's thinking, right? Food. Food? Food, right?
When you eat out.
Yo, I feel you, man. Allahu Akbar. Maybe that's part of love of self, too. Allah knows best. Allahu Akbar. Don't worry. We can forget password and get it back, inshallah. Okay, so here's the deal. There's going to be three stages of love I want to talk about. Three important stages of love. The first stage is called shauq. Shauq in Arabic means an intense desire to be with the beloved. Intense desire to be with the beloved. Shauq ila liqa'i. Shauq, an intense desire. Now, shauq, when love is building up, shauq grows strong inside that person. And we see the Prophet ﷺ, that desire at every moment to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A desire for it. The Prophet ﷺ said that when a believer is dying, and the angels come to pull the soul out, the soul is jumping out of the body. And the disbeliever does what? What does the soul do? It grips down inside. This is very interesting. When the disbeliever's soul is being pulled out, or the hypocrite, the narration says their soul scatters throughout the body and holds on as the angels try to pull it. But the believer is different. Why? The believer has been witnessing Allah this whole life. The believer has been witnessing Allah, desiring Allah. So it's like, you know, you've been engaged. Some people have these long engagements for like 2 years, right? They do this wedding thing, I don't know what it's called, and then they do this wait 1 year thing, and then, so this whole 1 year, you're like pulling out your hair, right? So when that moment comes, it's just like, it's like you're going to just jump out of your skin. Like, what is he? This is what the believer is like. Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut. Why? Because look, you've been worshiping Allah. You've been crying to Allah. You've been begging to Allah. And you haven't seen him. But that love is there. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when the angel comes and is pulling the soul out, that believer's soul is jumping out because it's been waiting so long for that moment to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone understand this point? But the hypocrite is different. See, the hypocrite hasn't built that love. It's built a love for things here. So it wants to stay where it built an affinity with, what it built a connection with. Does everyone get this point? Its love is here, so it doesn't want to leave what it loves. But the believer's love is there, so he wants to leave, she wants to leave quick and get to where the love, its love has been directed at. So that's what we're being taught. The first stage is what? Shauq. The second stage is unsiya, familiarity. To be familiar, to be intimate, to be unsiya means to be close and comfortable in someone's presence. You know, sometimes when you have a close friend, you don't even have to talk. You could just chill with them. You're just comfortable being with them. You don't have to do anything. You could just be with them. So what happens is, in the stages of love, just being in the presence of the beloved becomes comfortable. Like, I don't need anything else. I just want to be. And that's where we see the Prophet ﷺ spending these nights. What happens at nighttime? He's like, I got to make a call. I got to dip out. Why? I just need to spend some time with my beloved. I just need to be with them, with Allah. So the second stage is unsiya. Okay, the third stage we'll come back to. We can go through this. This is important. The third stage is ridha. Third stage of love is ridha, contentment with the beloved. This is where every fault or aib of the beloved becomes beautiful. Every fault or every aib becomes beautiful to you. The stank breath in the morning, you know, the little funny little things that they do that are annoying. Leave your clothes everywhere when you walk in the house. Okay. I knew it was coming eventually. It's all good. Anyways, if you weren't there, they'd love it. They'd miss it. If you weren't there, they'd be throwing your clothes everywhere because they need to see clothes spread out everywhere. All those funny things, all those weird things that you do, in the stage of ridha, you love all those things. And those subtleties, what are they called? There's a word for these. Huh? Quirky, like nuances, like not, there's another word for it too though. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I knew you would have it. And he walks out like mic drop or something, right? Those idiosyncrasies become so beautiful to the lover of the beloved. And this is what we see happening in Layla and Majnun. Like Majnun, he goes crazy, right? Because of his beloved Layla. But everything about Layla becomes the source of beauty for him. So Layla was extremely dark-skinned. So everything black, everything dark became beloved to him. Beloved to him. The night became beloved to him because it reminded him of her. He would see a black dog coming and come and hug and kiss the dog. Why? Because of that love for Layla, right? Any attribute that is connected to that beloved becomes love to that person. So these are the three stages. What were they? Shauq, unsiya, shauq, intense desire to be with. Intense desire, unsiya, this familiarity, just being with Allah. Just, subhanAllah, sometimes when you get to this stage, you just want time with you and Allah. Like, you don't need anyone else around. You just need, your heart just desires to do the dhikr of Allah and to talk to Allah and be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last stage is ridha with Allah. That whatever Allah throws at you, you're happy with. You're happy with. Just the same way when that beloved does something to you, you're happy with it, the same exact thing happens there. And as they say, the eye of the lover sees no faults. The eye of the lover sees no faults. It sees beauty. It sees beauty, nothing but beauty there. So what happened with Layla and Majnun? It's narrated that, and his mad passion grew day by day, so his repute declined amongst his friends. This is what's narrated in the story of Layla and Majnun. His mad passion grew day by day. Every day, Majnun was going more and more in love with Layla. So what happened necessarily? What does the author say? So his repute declined amongst his friends. As I said earlier, the more you fall in love with Allah, the more your heart goes away from this world. People are like, yo, what happened? She used to go out with us all the time. She used to do this, she used to that. No, now there's a love there. Same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't have any friends. Remember, this hadith is hard for people to get. Like, what is he saying? He said, I don't have any friends ba'd Islam. If I had a friend, who would it be? It would have been, but he's like, I don't have any. Why? Because you can't be real good friends with a person that's madly in love. With someone else, that is, obviously. Not with you. You call him up, and he's not answering. What happened to Tyrone, man? He's not answering no more. Right? What happened to him? What happened to Abdullah? Yo, he got married, man. He's gone now. Take him off the WhatsApp list. He's out of the group. You're gone. Miss MIA for how long? But he's happy. He's like, I don't need you guys. He won't say that to them. But that's how he feels. I don't need you anymore. Because I have that love. That same reality is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah. That same reality of love can be applied to our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence, number one, the greatest gift of the believer is death. Why? A chance to meet the beloved. The greatest gift in paradise. Think about it now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Jannah. What is the greatest bounty that the people of paradise will get? Why? Again, the beloved. Yo, Abdul Rahman, you know what I'm saying, right? You got a funny smile, so I know what's up, right? The greatest gift you give a lover is just to be able to see the beloved. That's it. And their narrations say that they will lose an attraction to all of paradise when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say to the people of paradise, go back and enjoy. And they'll say, no, we just want to look at you. We just want to look. So not until Allah covers himself back up will they come back to their senses and be able to go back and enjoy the paradise. SubhanAllah. That's why build that love now. Grow that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. so that there's nothing that comes before. Now, how do we know? And the greatest gift in this world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to give an example now. Let's get a little more practical, inshallah. I'm going to give an example called the tree of love. The tree of love. And if you're a good artist, maybe you can even draw a tree in your notes. Who knows? Wallahu. I drew a funny looking tree. I won't show you. So this tree has roots, okay? It has obviously a trunk, thank you. Alhamdulillah. It has branches, it has leaves, and it has fruits, okay? And it has water that feeds the tree and gives it life. The fruit that come from this tree is the obedience of the beloved. The obedience of the beloved. The leaves on this tree are your shyness, is your shyness before the beloved. The branches of the tree is your fear of the beloved. What kind of fear is this? Subhi, what kind of fear do you have of the one you love? Losing them. Losing that. Fear of this upsetting them. Right? Fear of the beloved. Now the trunk of the tree is ma'rifah, knowing, knowledge of the beloved. The more you know Allah, the more that love grows in the heart. The roots of that tree, humility before the beloved. And the water that feeds the tree, remembrance of the beloved. Remembrance of the beloved. Talking about the beloved, remembering the beloved, speaking about the beloved. That's the water that feeds this tree of love. I think that really will give us an understanding of how we need to be and grow that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions until now? Oh, and repeat those? I'll do it backwards. Okay, yeah, definitely. Okay, the water that provides life to this tree is the remembrance of the beloved. That's why in this book, the author has a chapter that talks about remembrance of Allah. We'll talk about that specifically. The trunk of the tree is knowledge of the beloved, knowing the beloved, ma'rifah, knowing who the beloved is. The more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater your love. The more you know about your beloved, the more your love grows. The next one, the branches of the tree, fear. Fear. But fear is what type of fear? Like fear that I'm going to lose that. I can't lose Islam. I can't lose Allah. I can't lose the Prophet ﷺ. I can't lose these things. And what is the leaves? Shyness before the beloved. Shyness before the beloved. And subhanAllah, like, you know, when Imam Ghazali talks about, when Imam Ghazali talks about love of Allah, he says, like, Nazza awliya'ahu an al-iltifat. So there's this concept called iltifat. Iltifat means to look the other way. So what happens when a person has built strong love for Allah, he doesn't look to the side. If you know what I'm saying. He doesn't look here and there and have to get elbow, what you looking at. Because the love is so strong. Right? And subhanAllah, in the prayer, what's it called to look around during the prayer? Iltifat, the same exact word. So subhanAllah, sometimes we're in the prayer talking to Allah, and even the heart turning away from Allah is called iltifat. So here you are conversing with Allah, standing before Allah, and your heart turns away. Just imagine you're walking with someone who you love, and your eyes turn away for a moment, Abdurrahman. Right? That's not a good thing, right? It's not a good, you might get an elbow, you might get a smack. But think about when we're praying with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much iltifat there is. How many times we turn our attention to something else. So Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he uses this word like iltifat, you don't turn away. Then he says, subhanAllah, he says, Allah reveals a bit of Himself to you, and then when you burn for desire to be with Him, Allah covers up some of Himself from you. Like, it's an amazing relationship that Imam Ghazali is talking about. Like, Allah is such that you're not able to completely see Him, but you get a glimpse of Him and you love Him, but you're also barred from seeing more of Him. But when you can't see something, what does it do? The one you love, when you can't see them, it makes you want Allah more. It makes you want that beloved more. So he talks about how then you're in between rad and qubul with Allah. Like, one of the things that stops us from talking to someone we love is what? She gonna say yes or no? Rad or qubul? Like, I don't know what to do, I'm stuck. So he says, like, the lover of Allah is in the same way. They want to go to Allah, but they're scared and shy. Like, no, Allah's not going to accept me. How can I go to Allah? But no, I need to go back to Allah. The same exact problem that a person in love goes through is the same thing he says that the heart goes through with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're in that love, building that love with Allah, you go, no, I can't. Astaghfirullah. I just messed up so much. I can't go back to Allah. And you're like, no, Allah loves me. I'm going to go back. And it's back and forth like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala talks about. But what's the problem? Here's the problem. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he said there's a major problem, guys. The problem is that there's too many other loves in our lives. That's the bottom line. There's too many other loves in your life. And the only way you can truly know if there's other loves is what you give preference to. Is what are you giving preference to? When you have a choice, is it what I want? Is it what Baba wants? Is it what Mom wants? Is it what society wants? Or is it what Allah wants? Because at the end of the day, that's the litmus test for love. That's the litmus test. Who do you give preference to? And that's what he's saying here. He says, it's so easy to talk about this, but the reality is, you'll only know when you're tested. You'll only know when you're tested where that true love is and where the love isn't at. Okay. As one person he said is beautiful. He said, "Al-muhabba narun fil qalb yahtariqu ma siwa murad al-muhib." He said that. What is muhabba? You can't use this except for a good cause, okay? He said, what is muhabba? He said, love is a narun, it's a fire in the heart. يحترق, it burns anything except the wish of the beloved. I'll say that again, that's heavy. For us claiming we love Allah, he says it's a narun fi qalbik. It's a fire in your heart. يحترق, it burns ma siwa marad al-muhib. It burns everything other than the will or intent the one that you love. So here we are. You know, and subhanAllah, there's a story of, there's a scholar, his name, inshallah, it will come to me. But he was one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the story says that he once walked into this person's store who was selling itr. Right? And this guy was kind of, he had a big business, really wealthy. And here this old man, old sheikh, walks in. And he starts, you know, touching all the bottles, looking at them. And if you ever go into an expensive itr store, like, if they know, you know, any expensive store, if they know you're not like, oh, you're not going to buy anything here. They don't give you the time of day, right? What are you doing here even? So he's looking through the bottles, and the guy says, you going to buy anything? He goes, no, I'm just looking. After a while, he goes through, keeps looking. Are you going to buy anything? No, I'm just looking. He goes, well, okay, what are you doing here after a while? He says, you know, I'm looking at each of these bottles. And I'm wondering, how are you going to die? So the store is like, what? What you worried about how I'm going to die for? What are you talking about even? He says, how is the angel of death going to take your soul out of each one of these little bottles? Heavy. Think what he's saying. Our heart is so attached to everything else. It's so attached. Like, he's like,
How is the angel of death going to? So he says, why are you worried about me? How are you going to die? He said, I'll show you. Went to the masjid. Later that day, he passed away. Laid down in the masjid, passed away. That scholar, guess who the scholar is known till today? The one who owned the Itr store. Changed his life. Changed his life from that moment on. He said, that one man taught me a lesson. That my heart belongs to Allah. Don't let anything else inside my heart. But here's the problem. How does love come into the heart? It comes into the heart from here and here. Be careful. This is the main way into the heart. That's why the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran teaches about ghadul basar, lowering the gaze. It's not just about opposite sex lowering the gaze. It's about anything that will pull your heart. This is heavy. The more you look at, it grows that love. So ghadul basar is not just about the opposite sex. It's not just about that. That is there for sure. But ghadul basar in general is that lower your gaze. Don't look so much at those things that will pull your, that will find a place inside your heart. And that's what hubb ad-dunya is basically, when the love of it gets inside of the heart. One of the examples, this might help us too. The example of the dunya, right? Dunya, we talk about this world. The example of it is like your heart is like that of a boat. This is a really good example. It really helps bring this imagery home. A boat will get to its destination so long as what? The water is under it. So the heart is similar. The heart uses the dunya to get through. But the water shouldn't be where? What happens if the water gets... The boat sinks. Same way with the dunya. You use the dunya. We use the phone. We use the car. We use all of this stuff. But it's not in my heart. Take it away tomorrow if you want. I'm good. I'll walk. I'll ride my bike to school. It's all good. Take my bike. I'll catch the bus. I haven't seen any buses in Arlington, though. No public transport. That's a whole nother topic right there. Gotta stay woke on that one. No public transportation. You gotta have a car. SubhanAllah, man. No excuses, yo. All right, inshallah. That's important. Because the public transportation was a way they used to keep people out of certain areas. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. Like, if you have to have a car to get to this side of town, that kind of limits the demographic in that side of town. Wallahu a'lam. The point is that we use these things, but we don't let them in the actual heart. And that's the key. But it's easy to claim. But the moment the iPhone breaks, that's when it kicks in. Was your heart in that screen? If it was in the screen, you'll feel a pain when it breaks. If it wasn't, you'll be cool. It's easy to claim. Don't look at me now. I'm like, yo, nah. But is the heart in the car? Is the heart in the phone? Is the heart in all of these other things? If it is, if it isn't, we should be able to take it away easy. Right? We should be able to take it away easy. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. What do you mean? Where do you place it? So I think the story that I said, were you here for the story of Ali radiallahu anh? I think that story, for those who aren't here, I think that story connects that question, because Ali radiallahu anh is teaching his son that I love you because of Allah. I love you only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why people have this hard time understanding man abghadha lillah wa ahabba lillah. Whoever hates for Allah and whoever loves for Allah. Like, what do you mean? Right? Imam Ghazali explains, first of all, which is interesting, the only reason you love your parents, you love your children, you love all your family members, the only reason you love them is actually it's a form of loving yourself. What's the difference between that child right there and some random child? It's my child. So I'm actually reciprocating my love of on my own self, that love that I have for that child right there over any other child walking around here. That too is a form of self-love. Right? But the point I'm trying to say is we've been ordered by Allah to love the child, to love our brothers, right? We've been ordered by Allah. But once those brothers become a source of you going away from Allah, oh, now we see. Once that sister, I'm ordered to love this sister. I'm ordered to chill with this sister. Allah wants me to have this type of relationship with people. But now, all of a sudden, you guys are becoming the source of me going away from Allah. Now, what am I doing it for? Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for Allah? Now your child wants certain things. Your child wants this. Your child wants to do that. Many times, the parent just gives in. Okay, you can have it. They know it's not good. They may even know it's haram. They know it's not good, maybe makruh, but they give in. Why? Because what just got overpowered? The love for the child overpowered that I love the child for the sake of Allah. And that's where the believer is supposed to be, where this love that we have for whatever it is, it's because of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Okay, I will just read a little bit more, inshallah ta'ala. So he says, you have to have love. And the only way to really know if there is love is to see what you give preference to. To see what you put before the other thing. So he goes, yes. And then he goes, for this person, the person who loves things and puts things before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this person, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way to turn the object of his love and everything that relates to it to a source of grief and sorrow. So this is Allah's blessing, which is that eventually all of those things that you love, there'll come a time where they will create some sorrow in your heart. The purpose of that, why does Allah allow that to happen? So that you wake up and realize that my heart was only meant to love one reality, Allah. Fill it with that. In return for having placed his own desires and the desires of those people who esteem or love him higher than his love of God. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed as part of destiny which cannot be turned back or repelled, that he who loves something other than Allah will surely be tormented by it. Man, the saying is, "Man ahabba shay udhiba bi." Whoever loves something is punished by that thing. Tortured by it. Because it forces you to do things. It forces you to serve it, to take care of it, to whatever it may be. That same thing becomes, if you don't care, you can't, it doesn't hurt me. But the moment I love you, you can become the source of my torment. Because now you hold a place in my heart. That's why a lot of brothers, we don't like to fall in love easy. Because once you fall in love, you've given that person power over you. To do what? To hurt you. Right? You've given that person power. So that's what he said. Man ahabba shay, whoever loves something will be tormented by that thing above God. And the one that fears someone other than God, has fear of something other than God, will come under its control. Whoever fears something other than Allah will become under control of that thing. The one who involves himself with something to the exclusion of God will find it as a source of grief. And the one who prefers another to God will not be blessed therein. And the one who tries to please a fellow creature by displeasing Allah will without fail bring Allah's anger upon himself and the people's anger as well. This is a hadith, and we'll end with this. The hadith says, the one who seeks God's pleasure in spite of the people's anger, Allah will be pleased with him and Allah will make the people pleased with him. But the one who tries to please the people in spite of Allah's anger, Allah will be angry with him and Allah will make the people hate him too. Lose everything. Don't give it up for Allah. Don't try to please the people in spite of Allah. But rather, please Allah. Allah will put the love of you in their hearts. Subhanallah. Amazing. Amazing. Last paragraph. The second way by which the heart is... So he said there's two ways, right? The first is love of Allah. And that's what we spoke about for the last 45 minutes. Love of Allah. There's one more thing I want to touch upon. There's three levels of love. Remind me of that, inshallah. Three like stages, aspects of love. Let me just read this last part and we'll talk about those three aspects of love and we'll conclude. The second way by which a heart is put to put the heart aright is to venerate the divine laws out of veneration for Allah, for the one who sent them. Anyone who lacks this veneration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Why is it that you don't honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which is interpreted to mean, what is wrong with you that you do not fear Allah? Really quick, this last one is basically that we hold high the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you have the love of Allah, this will come naturally. Once you've gained that love of Allah, this will come naturally as well. Okay, there's three types of people when it comes to love. This is our last thing and then we'll conclude. Raghbatan fillah. This is what we've been talking the whole time. Raghba meaning a desire or intense love for Allah. But some people, that's too abstract. So the next level down is what? Raghbatan fima indallah. That this person desires the paradise. Desires what Allah has promised. Right? So there's some people, what? They worship, why? They want Jannah. And there's some people like, yo, I don't even want Jannah. I want Allah. That's it. I want the beloved. I don't want all those things promised. The next stage is what? Fear of hellfire. Other people, it's just, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. That's it. It's not about love of Allah. It's not about a love of love for Jannah and paradise. It's just, I don't want hellfire. And then the last, raghba anillah. This is the worst. This is that you love everything but Allah. You love everything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what my recommendation, brothers and sisters, is look at Allah's creation and fall in love with Allah. Look at the sunset. Look at the sky. Look at the beautiful family Allah has blessed you with. Look at these things and fall in love with Allah. Till you reach this point that you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to text the one you love, you wake up in the middle of the night and you just want to talk to Allah. Wallah, you're in love with someone, you will wake up in the middle of the night and just shoot a text, missing you. Can you imagine if your heart just was like, ya Allah, I miss you. Out of nowhere. Wake up in the middle of the night, like, and subhanAllah, it comes out in the real moments. It comes out like, I used to be with our teachers and they would just be chilling and they'd just be like, Allah. SubhanAllah. Like, they're just like, subconsciously connected their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was with a brother, me and my wife and the kids, we were in a very bad car accident like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years now. And the brother I had in the front seat, like you know, you get to test your brothers every now and then, right? So the brother we had in the front seat, we're sitting at a light. It was after a halaqah like this. So I was taking the brother home. And it was late because we had just had Qasim, right? So, yeah, it was about a year and a half now, right? So we had just had Qasim. I was picking up my wife, had all the kids, and we were at a red light, just sitting there. And the brother was, I remember till now, he was asking me tafsir of a certain verse in Surah Yasin. And I was like, it was right after Halakha, so I was like completely, like mind was shot, right? And right before I can answer him, I hear these tires screeching. And at least going like 50 miles an hour, at least, without doubt, without like any exaggeration, this car just slammed into us. Bam, right? The moment the car hit, what did this guy next to me do? He screamed Allah. He just like, Allah. After that, I was like, yo, you my man, yo. I'm rolling with you, yo. I'm rolling with you. I'm rolling with you. Because that's when it's subconscious now. You can't fake at that moment. You can't front. At that moment, you see what's really coming out of someone. Whether it's a curse word, whether it's tears. And he just yelled Allah. Right? He just yelled Allah. So my point is, when you're in love with someone, you do weird things out of love. You wake up at weird times. You constantly want to check on them. Now, how do we take the love of stuff out of our heart? Here's the really take-home point. You may be thinking, all right, I love this. I love Netflix, I love this, I love this. How do I take these things out of my heart? So I had a psychology teacher that was in love with someone, they had a divorce or a split, and he was telling us methods for taking the love out of your heart for someone or something. Well, what is it, Abdurrahman? All right, good. You write this down. Yeah, that's why you're here. Okay, this is what you do. So what he would do is he would take a picture of that beloved, whatever it is. And on the back of the picture, what would he do? Write every bad thing about that thing. Every bad thing. So as the love of that thing clicks in your mind, oh, I'm missing. He'd take out the picture and flip it over. And look at that. So you know how you've listened to khutbahs and the khatib is like talking about the dunya. The dunya's like this. The dunya's like that. And you're like, dude, yo, like, what's wrong with this dude? Why doesn't he like living? Basically, that's like the back of the picture. That's all he's doing. That's the back of the picture. He's trying to remind you about the reality of this dunya to kind of take some of that love out of it. But most of us aren't at that stage where we realize I need to have a picture and look at the back of it because I have too much love for that thing in my heart. So that's why that khutbah doesn't make sense. Like, yo, chill out, bro. But that was a very good method. It's remembering the negative qualities of that beloved thing constantly will start to depreciate the value of that thing. And eventually, it comes out. Eventually, it'll come out. Like, even if someone's trying to give up smoking, like, you keep pictures of, like, lung cancer, people that have died from lung cancer, things like that, and you just keep looking at those images. And what happens is, eventually, your mind naturally equates that person with that negative reality. And you could take that thing out of your heart. Yeah? No, go ahead. My wife's coming. Yeah, so the question is, if love sees no fault, my wife is saying love sees no fault, so alhamdulillah, I'm going to remind later on. All right, love sees no faults, right? But you can name at least like 10 faults of mine right now. Yeah. To make those faults beloved. It is, but now we're trying to rid love from us. So we're talking the inverse now because we've realized we all have these things that we love in our hearts that we don't need in our heart. Whether it be cars, music, this, that, movies, whatever it is. We all love different stuff. So how do we get that out now? That's the question. So the method I mentioned was to look at those negative aspects. But she's like, well, when you're in love, you don't see any negative. But I think it's not that we don't see negative. We overlook it. Right? We overlook it. It's still there. Right? So I think as this professor was doing, he's like, all those overlooked negatives, let me write them down now. Let me write all those overlooked negatives down. Right? And then use those to kind of pull down the love. Yes, sister, you were going to say something.
That way you can objectively be like, okay, what do you see wrong with my movie obsession?
Yeah.
Someone that doesn't care about movies would be like,
it wastes your time, you're not with family, money. Okay, cool. Yeah, so to get the perspective of someone who's not in that love and to mention those faults to you, definitely. So I think this will be a practical step for us to kind of like really take out that love. Once the heart is emptied of those things, what my recommendation is, build that love. Look at the beautiful things Allah has created. Fall in love with Allah's creation. Look at it. Look at what He's created and let that remind you of Him. Then remember His blessings upon you. Like, what has He given you? He's given you so much. Fall in love with that. Fall in love with His names and attributes. Those names and attributes, those 99 names and attributes are a beautiful door or window into Allah's reality. So fall in love with those realities as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah give us that as this person said, نَعْرٌ يَحْتَرِقْ. Make it a fire in the heart that burns the love for any wish other than the beloved. May Allah give us that type of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I started today with a dua, which is a dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa used to make, which is, اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُنَا إِلَىٰ حُبِّكَ. The Prophet ﷺ used to make a dua, oh Allah, we ask you for your love. Number one, we want your love. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ. And we want the love of the people that love you. Right? That's a good sign. When the people of Allah love you, alhamdulillah, you're doing something good. وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ, and give us the love of the actions that gain your love. We want Allah's love, the people that love Allah's love, and the actions that Allah loves, we want to love those things. If we got those, khalas, we're good. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So after we pray Isha, we're going to have, like we always do, like 5-6 minutes of quiet dhikr, salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after we pray our salatul Isha, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillah. Any questions, actually? Any questions? Yeah, sure. Bismillah. Yes.
Is that necessarily a sign of love for Allah, though? What if it's like Quran, he, after all of that, it was only until the water came crashing down on him, when he, you know, turned to Allah?
Interesting. So the way I looked at that situation was, at that moment, the involuntary kicks in. That involuntary connection in the heart was kicking in. But in the case of Pharaoh, Wallahu alam. There wasn't any voluntary before this to show love. This kind of proves the real love. So here's a person constantly showing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? A person constantly showing love for Allah in that intense moment, that reality of the inner. Here's a person, Pharaoh, denying Allah the whole time and at that last moment saying something. And the fact that Allah told Gabriel to shove something in his mouth is showing that Allah knows the reality, that that's not really what's in the heart. Allah knows best. There's a sister that has a, yes. Subhanallah. That's deep. You deep, yo. She said he did that for his love of self. Like that wasn't even love of Allah. Yeah, that's me. Yes, Sister Mesa. Yes. So whatever you fear, this was really interesting. And I wanted to go into it, but we just don't have time. He goes, whatever you fear, you come under control by it. You come under control of the thing you fear. The moment you don't fear someone, they don't have control over you anymore. Right? Then he goes, the one who involves himself with something to the exclusion of Allah will find it as a source of grief. You busy yourself and put Allah to the side and busy yourself with something, that thing will become a source of grief to you. The one who prefers another to Allah will not be blessed therein. And we'd have to look at the Arabic to get a deeper understanding of that. No, that's not a hadith. Those are his words. Which part were you saying it was a hadith?
I thought the part about if you do something to people.
Yes. Yes. Man al-tamasa ridha Allah fi sakhatin nas. That's the hadith. Just that part. Yes. Yeah, show me how you do this. It's nice. Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting to kind of...
Uruziqta hubbaha?
Yeah.
So
then, you know, it's interesting because he says that and you realize that there's like this hikmah behind she dies and then after she dies, he goes through this whole experience and then he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. But even there he says, Uruziqta hubbaha. So when asked about Khadija, the Prophet ﷺ, he used a beautiful statement that says, رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, like rizq, like I was given her love as rizq, as if Allah gave it to me, right? So to me, I see also like he's saying there's a divine part that Allah put that love inside of me. And you were saying what? That he loses her.
And then he gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest attachment he has is dunya.
He loses.
And then he gets the closest attachment.
Allahu Akbar. And when he dies, what is it? Rafiq al-A'la. Yes, bismillah. Yeah, bismillah.
So So me personally, I tend to maybe over-empathize or be, well, it's a good thing, compassionate towards others or things, a movement or anything like that.
Yeah.
Is there a way to decipher that fine line between being selfless and trying to help, fix, provide a care towards someone or something?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the defined line between that and it being giving too much of yourself to where you lose yourself in that?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I got you. So there's a cause, there's something that's needed, and you devote yourself to that cause.
So you mean relationships? I mean, honestly, friends?
Yes.
As you've asked for my hand, like so many things when I came deciphering whether to keep them in my life or not, it was, I don't know if I'm in this anymore because I'm just feeling for them to where it's selfless, I guess, in a way. But I don't know when that line would be where it's, okay, this isn't healthy for you anymore. This is just you blindly giving and not like filling up my heart with Allah and something that Allah would ask of me to do to heal for others.
Yeah.
But it turning into me filling them filling my heart with the care of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a bit.
Trying to figure it out in my own head right now.
Yeah, yeah. But let me think over that, and we could talk later on it, inshallah ta'ala. But basically what I'm understanding is like that even when it comes to people, that we devote ourselves to someone, right? We fill ourselves with love for them. And now after that, like, we've devoted ourselves to that person. We have love for that person. For the sake of Allah, even, that we... Yeah, understood.
Isn't that kind of similar to فَلَعَلَّكَ بَخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ
آثَارِهِمْ? The Prophet ﷺ similarly was the brother's imam is mentioning a verse where the Prophet ﷺ would have so much empathy for the people that Allah had to tell him, that's a beautiful ayah, subhanAllah. Allah had to tell him, chill out. Like, he wanted them to become Muslim so bad that he was troubling himself, trying to devote everything he had to them. And Allah, and it's almost killing him. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ. Allah is saying, oh Muhammad, it's like you're going to kill yourself for these people. Don't do that. Right? So even the Prophet ﷺ had to be told that you have to let go of people sometime and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take over. But I don't know if we could directly connect that, inshallah. We could talk, inshallah. Taib, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.